Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Jefferson Cowie's The Great Exception, The New Deal and the Limits of American Politics is a concise work of American political and social history that reinterprets the New Deal era as an unusual break from the deeper patterns of U.S. history rather than the normal course of liberal reform. Published by Princeton University Press, the book asks what made the New Deal possible, what kind of equality it produced, and why that kind of politics proved difficult to sustain. Cowie focuses on the period from the Great Depression through the 1970s, arguing that the federal government briefly used its power in unusually direct ways to support working Americans and expand economic equality. The book is not simply a celebration of that era, it is also an argument about its limits, its fragility, and the political conditions that made it exceptional. It is aimed at readers interested in inequality, labor, American liberalism, and the long history of political realignment. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the New Deal as a historical exception, not the norm. Cowie's central claim is that the New Deal era should be understood as a great exception in American history, not as the standard model of U.S. politics. He argues that from the 1930s through the 1970s, American government operated in a way that temporarily broke with longer-standing patterns of political practice, economic organization, and cultural values. This reframing matters because it challenges the familiar story that modern liberal government naturally emerged from democratic progress. Instead, Cowie presents the New Deal as a rare alignment of crisis, leadership, and institutional opportunity. That interpretation helps explain why later efforts to recreate the New Deal often fall short. They are trying to reproduce a political arrangement that depended on extraordinary historical conditions. The book's value lies in shifting the reader from viewing the New Deal as an inevitable benchmark to seeing it as a contingent and limited departure from the American norm. Secondly, how federal power briefly worked for working Americans. A major theme of the book is the unusual extent to which the federal government used its resources on behalf of working-class Americans during the New Deal and post-war liberal. Cowie emphasizes that this was a period of greater economic equality, but he is careful to frame that equality as politically constructed rather than naturally produced by market growth. The state expanded labor protections, supported collective bargaining in important ways, and helped create conditions in which working people could secure a larger share of national wealth. What makes this theme important is that Cowie treats equality as a product of specific policy choices and coalitions, not as a permanent feature of democratic capitalism. This approach gives the book a sharp analytical edge. It shows how policy can redistribute power, while also revealing how unusual it was for the federal government to do so at that scale. Readers come away with a clearer understanding of how state action can reshape class relations when political conditions allow it. Thirdly, the fragile coalition behind New Deal liberalism. Cowie argues that New Deal liberalism depended on a highly specific and unstable political coalition that cannot simply be recreated in later periods. His account stresses the convergence of economic emergency, wartime mobilization, labor strength, and Roosevelt-era political leadership. In this view, the New Deal was made possible by an unusual cold fusion of forces that came together only once. That matters because it undercuts simpler explanations that treat reform as the result of vague progressive momentum. Cowie's analysis suggests that durable change requires not just good ideas, but a rare alignment of institutions, class pressure, and political legitimacy. He also resists the notion that the coalition collapsed mainly because of later social movements alone. Instead, he places more weight on the deeper structural and political fragility of the New Deal order. This makes the book especially useful for readers trying to understand why reform coalitions can be powerful yet difficult to preserve over time. Fourthly, Reagan and Gingrich as restorations rather than revolutions. One of Cowie's most provocative claims is that the political victories associated with Ronald Reagan and Newt Gingrich should be understood less as revolutionary breaks than as restorations of older American patterns, rather than treating conservatism in the late 20th century as a wholly new departure. He argues that these figures helped reassert deeper traditions of limited government, market primacy, and hostility to organized labor. This interpretation is important because it changes how readers understand political change after the New Deal. The post-war liberal order is not presented as the permanent center of American life that was later overturned by a radical right. Instead, it appears as a temporary interruption that conservative politics eventually reversed. That perspective gives the book a long historical arc and helps explain why the dismantling of New Deal assumptions could feel so natural to many political actors. It also highlights the resilience of older American habits of inequality and individualism beneath the surface of mid-century reform. Lastly, why the New Deal cannot simply be revived today. The book ends with a forward-looking but sobering argument: a New Deal-style revival is not likely to be built under contemporary conditions. Kawi does not claim that economic inequality is permanent or that political reform is impossible. Rather, he argues that the specific institutional and historical foundation that sustained New Deal reform has disappeared. That means contemporary advocates for collective economic rights need to think differently about strategy, coalition building, and the limits of nostalgia. This is one of the book's most practical contributions, because it refuses easy analogies between the 1930s and the present. Instead of asking how to duplicate the New Deal, Kawi asks what its history teaches about the possibilities and boundaries of democratic reform. The lesson is not that progress is futile, but that successful reform depends on understanding the unusual circumstances that once made broad economic redistribution politically achievable. In conclusion, The Great Exception is best suited for readers who want a serious, historically grounded account of American inequality, labor politics, and liberal reform. Historians, political scientists, journalists, students of modern U.S. politics, and readers interested in the New Deal will find it especially useful. Its main benefit is conceptual. It forces readers to reconsider a familiar era as an anomaly rather than a template. That argument is intellectually valuable because it clarifies both what the New Deal accomplished and why similar reforms have been so hard to reproduce. Compared with broader histories of the period, Kawi's book is more focused and more provocative, using a compact scale to make a large reinterpretation of American political development. It stands out because it does not simply praise the New Deal or condemn its limits. Instead, it links historical contingency, class power, and institutional change in a way that helps explain both the achievements of mid-century liberalism and the resilience of inequality before and after it. Readers looking for a concise but substantial challenge to conventional political memory will find it rewarding. If you would like to support Jefferson Kawi, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.